AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Matic, joined by Andrew Barron on Thursday afternoons as we run through the main slate of DFS. And, you know, to be honest, pretty gross slate. I don't believe there's any game with a total in the 50s. We have, you know, everyone's favorite team, the Detroit Lions, probably going to be without Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift again. Everyone's favorite team for stacking, the Buffalo Bills, have a bunch of injuries. We don't really know how that's going to shake out. They have a 30-point team total, but they are two touchdown favorites. And then probably the most disappointing team in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have the second highest team total. They're getting guys back. Cole Beasley retired. Tough scenes. I mean, it is normally I'm pretty take locked on a Thursday, and I'm not really that take locked as we're sitting here.
No, I think that's going to be a theme today. We had a few, you know, major adjustments that kind of happened, and I think that's going to be all right. We're going to get ourselves into a good place, but honestly, this is kind of fun. We'll work through our processes together, and I do kind of like some of these. I know it seems bad, but these games where you have just like the huge favorites, like the highest totals against absolute doormats, that happens a lot, and I think you get some edge there by stacking those teams because people are just like, it's a blowout, it's not going to happen. But you know, I mean, if Buffalo beats the living snot out of Pittsburgh, as you know, this is obviously gets talked about a lot, but yeah, they're probably going to put up 35 by the fourth quarter, and Josh Allen will have gotten his. It's just a question of like, does he run for two touchdowns, and like which whack-a-mole guy does it go to? You know, it's not great when the Steph Diggs 11 points with Josh Allen 34 is kind of back in play, which it didn't look like after the first couple of seasons. We thought they were back in their 2020 form, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. So starting out at quarterback, Josh Allen breaking everything. Now again, so to take people behind the curtain, we are reworking the way we calculate efficiency, and that on the front end of the projections right now, Thursday afternoon on DailyRoto.com, is going to make the projections look really wonky because guys right now are being given the actual rates upon which they've scored touchdowns, not the rates which we would project them to score touchdowns. So that is things are wonky right now. I would say what it's really giving us right now is like buy high model. The optimals are giving us a buy high model. So they're telling us that Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen are the best plays ever. And that's
which they are.
Yeah. I would imagine that if you were using more regressed efficiency type stuff, you're going to be getting Tom Brady as the number one optimal probability quarterback, or probably number two optimal probability quarterback, because he is 6,000. He had a huge game last week. He got Evans back. He got Godwin back. He got Julio back. They threw 52 times, 385 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions last week. He's $6,000 on DraftKings. His stacking options all are cheap. Fournette is 6,500. Godwin's 5,900. I think Evans is, I don't know Evans' salary off the top of my head. I will say for me, I'm not really that interested in loading up Tom Brady double stacks in the spy, knowing how heavy those combos are going to be owned.
Well, it's funny you say that, because a regressed Tom Brady model, a model with heavier regression, like basically what we found out an hour ago was, this is being regressed too much, not what we thought it was. And it is now basically barely being regressed at all. I will fix that. But a non-regressed Tom Brady model, he's so efficient. So like his optimal probability is actually going to be prettier. Where my simulation stuff comes into play, like he doesn't tend to do as well. It's the same reason, you know, we get into the Patrick Mahomes debate every week, because you're like, he's the absolute best smash, but you know, he doesn't run enough, so it makes it hard. Those guys, like the reason Allen and Hurts have so much higher, do so much better in the Sims, is because they run, and there's a lot of ways they can get there. It's the same, like Deebo Samuel is always way higher optimal probability than his projection would suggest, because he's a dual threat. Anybody who like does multiple things has just way more avenues to smash. So Allen and Hurts, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that they're the top, but you mentioned Brady. I'm pretty into the Bucs this week. They, this year thus far, have not had those 30-point totals they had routinely week in and week out last year.
Well, the offensive line stinks. They've all been banged up. Brady looks a year old. I mean, Brady still gets the ball out super quick. But you would expect a 45-year-old quarterback, if his weapons are injured and the line stinks, to be worse.
No, I think that is fair, but I think the line is getting a little bit better. I feel like I read some news reports about that. Brady put up 1,000,000 points last week, and Atlanta is absolutely brutal. Their defensive line is maybe the worst in football, so he should have more time. He gets the ball out quickly. He has, you know, the third greatest receiver in the history of the National Football League and Mike Evans back. That's like mild hyperbole, but not really. So I don't know. I like them a lot, and I often, with a team like this, especially when we have all these like massive spreads, it's just like for 2/3 of my runs, I'm going to have at least one Buck thing going, because you don't know who it's going to be, but Len's the highest optimal probability running back. Brady obviously could throw for 305 here if he wants to. Evans is just an absolute touchdown smasher. Chris Godwin can get there on dink and dunk. They're not expensive. 6K for Brady, 6'9 Evans, 5'9 Godwin. Like, that's not very much. I hear what you're saying. I think it probably will get steamed a bit in single entry, but they're not looking too popular yet. And I think for MME, and there's multiple ways you can do it. You know, like Miami, I think, is going to be kind of the bad shock this week because they're fairly cheap, but they have a crappy quarterback, and there's just the two guys that you would play with them. So if you're playing a Miami stack, you're kind of doing the same thing everyone else is, or you're trying to get lucky with a skinny stack. No, Reek just kind of looks like the worst chalk so far. But we'll see what happens there. But I'm interested in the Bucs, and I haven't really been thus far this season, other than some Fournette.
I'm interested in the Cardinal side of the Eagles. Cardinals, right? So you do Kyler instead of Hurts. You do Hollywood, yep, and AJ Brown, Zach Ertz, whatever. Then you're getting into pretty unique combos at that point. I am not really interested in Stafford. Not really interested in Geno against the Saints. There are worse plays than Teddy Bridgewater, right? Because so much of the Dolphins production, you would just expect him to basically do the equivalent of a 5-yard pop pass and then let Tyreek and Waddle do the work. Probably the guy who I'm leaning towards as my weirdo play is Trevor Lawrence stacks against the Houston Texans, right? So you got Kirk, you got Zay Jones, you got Evan Ingram, you have your obvious run back and Brandon Cooks. Maybe you could run it back with whoever is starting at tight end for them, probably OJ Howard. The Lawrence doubles are kind of, and he runs a little bit. I mean, he runs more than the Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady's. Like he could score a 16-yard rushing touchdown. That's in the range.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's just by being younger. No, I think Lawrence is pretty good. I don't think that's as weird as you maybe think. Christian Kirk is going to be very, very popular. So I'm not sure that's so off the board, but I don't mind it. That will certainly be in my mix. That's not like a quarterback I'm crossing off. Geno is, I don't know, like I kind of want to get there. The Saints are just, they're not a fun team for anybody to play against. But Geno obviously has been spectacular this season. The Vikings are a little tough. Like Cousins is a little too expensive. I kind of think he's in that like Derek Carr the last few weeks range where he's, you know, cheap, but not as cheap as the real dumpster divers. You know, he's that little bit over 6K guy. And that is, you want to play Devontae Adams with Derek Carr. You want to play Justin Jefferson with Kirk Cousins, because if they're really doing it, those guys are going to get there. And, you know, Justin Jefferson is like $9,000. He's just bested by Cooper Kupp. So you're really paying a premium there. I think you can probably buy low on Herbert a little bit. I'm more interested in it if Keenan Allen is out, because the pricing is awkward.
I don't think he's going to play. And the other interesting element is Palmer is banged up too, so he might not play, which would leave DeAndre Carter, but would just leave them really thin. And Everett obviously would be a better play too. And you could
play Mike and Everett. Like it's a pretty consolidated tree. Those are the touchdown scorers.
Well, and Austin Eckler, right? You can play. You could definitely play him with Eckler.
Yeah, I know Eckler gets a lot of receptions for a running back, but you're paying a lot for 15% of the market share of targets there. You know, like you wouldn't pay that for a receiver.
It's more like I have been projected for 18 with Keenan out, and I feel pretty good about that, which is basically the same target share as Josh Palmer's had.
Sure, that's fine. I mean, they're obviously much
they're different
shorter
targets,
down the field.
But Eckler's are more likely to go for touchdowns, though. I mean, we literally just saw it.
Right, but it's also more likely that he actually just runs the ball and Herbert gets 0 points for these touchdowns. Which
yeah,
so that's the problem.
Just,
that's the problem.
It's just variance, bro. I mean, what if they run the Xander Horvath fullback play, but they run it for Eckler? Boom, 12 points, easy game.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's true. That's a great point. Counterpoint. I am dusted. What am I gonna do here?
I just want to talk myself into Kyler this week is really what it's come down to. Is I would love to talk myself into Kyler, Hollywood, Rondale, AJ Brown, Devonta Smith. The Eagles, by the way, very narrow target tree as well. There are only three guys you're playing there. And I think Sanders is gonna get a little bit popular this week. So I would love to just be on any angle that does not include playing Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Arizona is pretty solid because that's the highest total game because it's the somewhat competitive there. It's not supposed to be a blowout. There's other teams with higher totals, but it's a 5-point spread, I believe, at the moment. So I think that's fine. Hollywood, obviously, he is third on the season behind on this slate in air yards behind Chris Olave, who is number one by a freaking mile partially because of that one 330-yard game, but he's getting a lot, and people are finally onto that. He was a bit of a free square, a very solid tournament, like real hard over, because he was like 5% even after the 300-yard game. So I think he's definitely he's fine. But my point with that was that Marquise Brown is the third behind Olave and Reek in air yards on the slate this season. So he is, and he's performed well, but he hasn't had, like, none of those long ones have really gone for touchdowns, right? Has he had any, like, just he's streaking down the field and dusting everyone?
No, not yet. He's been, I mean, the whole offense is closer to the line of scrimmage. Another thing for quarterback is I really like using Allen this week with Diggs and Shakir. I think Shakir is a guy who I think literally should be like 17-18%, but will not be. So Kumaro's out. He's got a high ankle. Crowder, I think, broke his ankle. I think he might be done for the year. And McKenzie, so at first it was reported that he was limited with a concussion on Wednesday. Then the actual team practice report came out and he was a DNP. I think with the Tua stuff going on, guys with head injuries are just not going to play the week after this year. So the Bills are down to two wide receivers that they had to start the year. Shakir, who was a game day scratch. And then Isaiah Hodgins, who is their practice squad guy, and Knox also not practicing. I mean, I think we could see 80% of snaps for Shakir.
I think that's probably reasonable. I really wanted to talk about him, and maybe we should just do it now. It's fine because we can go a little.
No, let's come.
A lot
let's
to
come,
do without. But.
Let's come back to him because there are other guys to talk about. So, your two favorite tournament quarterbacks are who?
Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Mine are Allen with the Steelers bring back. You just plug your nose and play Pickens or Claypool and Kyler. And then Lawrence third after that. Okay, running back, very interesting this week because Leonard Fournette has been horrific this year. So bad. The workload's been so good. He did give up a 1-yard rushing touchdown and some garbage time stuff to one Mr. Rashad White last week. Good for the best ball bags. But, I mean, we got McCaffrey, single-digit ownership projection. Dalvin Cook, single-digit ownership projection. Alvin Kamara in what should be, like, a stone spot for him with Andy Dalton. Like, just give Alvin Kamara the ball. Let's get out of here with a win against Seattle. And then how about back-to-back weeks of five targets for one Mr. D. Henry? Our running back, more and more people are saying, is running back scoring back?
Ooh. That's a very interesting thought. Doesn't really seem like it. Like last week, D. Henry, or 2 weeks ago, he got 25 points and was, I believe, or I guess Herbert was the highest scoring, but he was the second highest. No one played Herbert because he was, but like, you know, it. No, I don't think so. I think running back scoring is actually down, but scoring in general is down.
Well, running back scoring in general is way down.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. I've been pounding the big dog drum. He's going to be a little bit popular this week, so it's like I don't know, it's fine. He's more of a neutral play.
I'll tell you right now, the guys who are going to be stone chalk in most of your contests, Jamal Williams will be for sure. The Patriots running backs will be for sure. Khalil Herbert,
gross.
Jeff Wilson Jr., Breece Hall, Leonard Fournette. Those are your chalk running backs.
Eckler as well. Singletary is going
to
get pretty popular.
See, Singletary is probably the most interesting one to me because I don't think – I think even with the gigantic team total and spread, people – I mean, remember when Singletary was literally playing every single snap for the Bills last year? He still was not getting steam to our – people just don't like him. He's just not a name people like to click on.
I think that's true, but they're talking about him a little bit. I don't know. Even just like I'm not – I do not spend a ton of time on Twitter, but it's very much like, okay, people are like, you know, Devin Singletary played all these snaps last week again. So I think he's, I don't know. I'm interested to see how that plays out when this team does come in. Cause Pittsburgh's generally a pretty bad run defense. It's a massive total. If you don't want to play Josh Allen, like you go that way. I think Mostert is actually a solid leverage play. Potentially. It doesn't really look like it yet, but it's just with Reek most likely being the most popular wide receiver. And it's a Dolphins team that is a decent sized favorite against the crappy Jets team. And what are they going to do? It's Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I don't think they're going to run the Tua offense with him. I could certainly be wrong, but I think that that's a pretty solid way to get there. Teddy's very good, he's just a regular old B-. He's a fine quarterback, but he's not running up the score very much. So I think Mostert's fine. Or like Edmonds, do we know which one?
No, Mostert has iced Edmonds. Edmonds played 22% of the snaps last week. I think 38% the week before. It's one of those things where like the underlying trends are there, but Edmonds has scored 3 touchdowns on a combined 35 snaps the last 2 weeks. I would imagine that would reverse, and it would especially reverse, obviously, if Mostert does one of his patented Mostert 70-yard touchdowns.
Sure. Yeah, guys fast. You want to talk, you want to argue about beta-ass Ramondre Stevenson versus the alpha Damian Harris?
I mean, Ramondre is the better play, and will continue to play more snaps and run more routes and get more touches. But in this spot, I don't really have a problem with either one of them. I think they're both underowned a little bit because let me tell you,
Ramondre is the most popular P-owned on all running backs right now. So I wouldn't say that they're both.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I see Fournette, Jeff Wilson Jr., Pierce. I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think that's fine. But
if Ramondre, so I'm looking at a blended projection, and I see Stevenson at 13%. Stevenson at 13%, Damian Harris at 10%, give me Stevenson.
Huh. Yeah, I don't have a ton of tout data yet. My P-owns definitely get a lot better. Usually by Friday afternoon is really when the cavalcade of info comes in. But yeah, I don't know. I got you, but listen, this is the argument I made every week so far. And they've both been pretty good so far this year. Harris is scoring more points. Harris gets more touchdown opportunity. Ramondre is if you got to play one in cash, obviously you play Ramondre because there's more guaranteed volume there. Harris absolutely can do 12 carries for 32 yards and one target that he doesn't catch. Like there's a real disgusting floor with Harris. But this is a bad team against the worst run defense in football. Am I making that up? I think that
no,
is
you're
true.
You're legit. I mean, they are just going to run the ball. If Bailey Zappe actually starts this game at quarterback, they are literally it's going to be like that Falcons drive against the Browns. I mean, they are just going to run every single down.
So they don't really care. They're not trying to get the passing game going. If the running game works, which it should against a god-awful Detroit defense, they are going to be happy doing that. And Harris, like it or not, gets more goal line work. He's in that, it's Jamal Williams before DeAndre Swift was hurt. It's kind of like that, but on a team that's a bad offense.
You're hoping
for two touchdowns. And last Ramondre week seems unlikely to do that.
Damian got 18 rushes, one target. Ramondre got 14 rushes, 5 targets. So they're both going to get the ball
three
times or so.
Red zone rushes, and 2 of them went to Harris. He's got double the red zone rushes. Does he get into the end zone twice? I think that's how a Patriot ends up optimal, and I don't see that for Ramondre. But
yeah, the one guy I for sure will not be playing in tournaments is Jeff Wilson Jr. I'll probably play him in cash. I'll probably play I'll probably play Jeff Wilson Jr., Fournette, and Khalil Herbert in cash. I think I slightly prefer Herbert to Dameon Pierce. That's pretty close. But, I mean, Jeff Wilson Jr. is fine to get to 13 in cash or whatever, but he is so limited by what the 49ers do in the red zone. I mean, all his touchdowns this year are going to come from like 20 yards out. You know, like they just, they get down to the five and it's Kittle, it's Debo, it's Ayuk, it's like, you know, naked bootlegs. Like they're just not handing him the ball on the 3 yard line.
Yeah. And they're a dominant defense playing against the slowest team in the NFL. So it's like, there's not a lot of opportunity there. So he's going to have to do that. Kind of agree with you there. What do you make of Dalvin Cook? Like he looks like he'll be quite a bit underowned because it's
and he's run so bad. He's run so really bad, has. Right? Madison scoring the 4 yard touchdown, only played like 12 snaps against the Saints. He is primed for a vintage, you know, Dalvin Cook 35 pointer.
Yeah, and they're touchdown home favorites against a very bad Chicago team. Like I really like Dalvin Cook this
week.
He's probably
my favorite running back play this week. Oh, big news.
To hear it.
Bears running back 36 seconds ago, Bears running back David Montgomery upgraded to limited practice. He hears the Khalil Herbert footsteps coming. He does not want it to get Wally pipped.
No, I think that's fair. What about Rashad Penny? I think, you know, the Saints are tough, but he's one of those guys that when he gets it done, you know, there's so many chances for him when he's working. The Seahawks actually play fast too. They just stink, so they don't run as many plays.
I don't know if they're going to play fast this week. I do think it's kind of been fed into some of these games they played. My guess would be is they're going to trend back down towards the Pete Carroll average, and that we're going to see some of these early spike weeks as kind of aberrations. I mean, Penny might just be the efficiency guy. Like he might be the guy who every week you're like, he can't keep getting away with this as he rips off. I mean, you know, he might be like NFC West Derrick Henry, basically.
Right. They weren't that slow last year either. It's just, it's a little bit the Panthers thing. The Panthers are pretty slow, but it's more that like, if you go three and out every time, yeah, you're going to not have many plays. But the Seahawks gave up the most plays in the league by a ton. And I remember that narrative a lot last year where people were like, I don't know, you can't play people against the Seahawks. They're so slow. But they gave up the most plays in the league and people just crushed them. So. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're trying to play slow. I think that he's fine.
People are a little bit down on Jamal Williams because he only got, he only played on 48% of the snaps or whatever, but he got like 80% of the running back work. I would be pretty interested in going right back to the well on Jamal Williams.
He's fine. It's just his role didn't really change. You know, he's going to get all the goal line work. They're not going to throw to him all that much, but he's fine.
So my hand in the dirt football take is that when you play 80 snaps in a game, you got to get spelled more than if you play 62 snaps in a game. And sure. Especially when it's like, you know, they're in the second half, it's like breathless. We're chucking the ball down the field and, you know, Josh Reynolds is leaping and we're going for two and it's all chaotic. Like that's not going to happen in this game. It's just going to be very controlled. Both teams are just going to run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down. Like it's just, I think this is, You it would be weird to say this, like this is a better game for Jamal Williams than the 15th highest scoring game in NFL history. But I actually think this, he probably gets more touches in this game than he did in their last game against the Seahawks.
Sure. I think that's fine. Another guy who's been running really bad, who I can, if this Arizona Philly game gets steamed, which I think there's a real chance for it too, because again, it's the best overall game environment. Because it's a relatively tight spread and pretty good totals on both sides. James Conner has run really bad. And I think that's pretty good leverage.
I'm not doing that. I can't get that deep into the pool. He's like the 32nd best running back play.
No, he's like the 7th best running
back. It's one of those spots where like if you continue to be inefficient for so long and they've been giving Daryl and Eno snaps, like in week one, Daryl and Eno's role, Daryl didn't play at all. And Eno just played on third downs, but now they're working in Daryl and Eno. It seems.
But he was ungodly efficient last year. You know, like what's changed? It's probably going to be somewhere in the.
Well, they're way worse.
He ran hot last year.
Well, they're way worse. They're just the team is way worse, right?
Are they? I don't know. I mean, the defense is really bad this year, and they weren't so bad last year.
DeAndre Hopkins is really good, and Rondale Moore and Greg Dortch are not very good. They're pretty bad.
You knew how to get into my heart with that one, but Rondale Moore is not very good. He played a ton of snaps last week, though, I will say.
He is a big play this week,
play threat.
There was this snap where he got like he had like an 8 yard little screen and he's running up the field and he could have got the first down. And this Panthers defender, I swear, just pushed him over. Like, I swear, yeah, just reached his
like
arm
150
out.
150 pounds, dude. Like,
but I mean, Hollywood's not very big and he finds a way to make those guys miss. It's just, it was like, it
Hollywood's
honestly,
a grown man.
Even more than the size thing, it was just like a poor awareness thing. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe Cliff's right to not play this guy. Maybe he does just stink.
I mean, the Cardinals do kind of traffic in poor awareness. That is a bit their brand.
Yeah.
With old Cliff and everything.
So, wide receiver, pretty interesting because we got a lot of dudes projected for a lot of points. And I do wonder if people actually leverage themselves out of just playing Cooper Kupp, who is like, I mean, Cooper Kupp is just going to get a billion points every week. I'm just playing Cooper Kupp. I don't care how much he costs.
Yeah. I mean, he'll certainly be in my pool, but it's so expensive. That's the thing with Cooper Kupp is, yeah.
But we have value at every spot this week. Every spot has a good value
play. I know. But listen, here's the thing. Like, Cooper Kupp is, like, definitely going to put up, you know, 25 or whatever. You know, that's not – I mean, his floor is 18. But he is very likely going to get 27, 28. Like, even in a, like – you know, his 70th percentile game is better than all of these other guys' 70th percentile games. But if any one of them runs hot – like, Debo can beat Cooper Kupp, can beat a 28-point Cooper Kupp game. Tyreek can beat a 28-point Cooper Kupp game.
Well,
AJ Brown can
beat
a 28-point Cooper Kupp game.
All these guys can, but Cooper Kupp can, like, get 40 without breaking a sweat.
Wow, I mean, 40's a lot. Their offensive line is bad. Dallas's defensive line is good. Listen, he's going to get his. I think he's pretty safe for 25. I'm not prioritizing it because it's so expensive, and I think there's plenty of, like, 7,500 to 8K dudes that I think can hit the same ceiling. So I'm going to be,
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there's like no one on the slate who can beat him. Like, Tyreek can beat him.
No, I know.
Godwin can beat him. London probably can't.
Godwin,
you know,
is like the worst example to bring up there. He's just like crappy Cooper Kupp.
No, God, you are,
he's fine. Cooper Kupp. He's pretty good. Cooper Kupp, but he's a slot receiver. He doesn't get a ton of touchdowns. He doesn't get a ton of air yards. Like, it's,
I mean,
not,
dude,
as,
Godwin,
not as
Godwin
valuable.
Godwin has 6 career games with over 120 yards and 2 touchdowns.
So, as everyone I'm sure is interested in how we came to this this realization today that we had a bug on some of our efficiency rates, was I, you know, a scholar, was looking through the projections and being like, how on God's earth is Chris Godwin having the same or higher optimal probability than freaking Mike Evans? And it turned out that there was just a problem with their efficiency. So the touchdown rates were about the same for them based on their targets. Now, Tom Brady has been there for 3 seasons now, including the playoffs. Mike Evans has played 41 games with him. Chris Godwin has played 32. Care to hazard a guess on, like, what the touchdown outcomes are there? Or, like, say, what X do you think Mike Evans has Cooper Kupp?
I mean, I would guess Evans has scored like 3 times as many touchdowns, but that's not what I would project moving forward. I would say that's much more likely to, if we went from this spot to the end of Brady retiring.
It's not 3 times, dude. That's ridiculous.
Well,
but
Godwin,
it's close to 3 times. It's 34-13. Like, it's insane.
That's not an accident
at a certain point. That's not just variance, bro. That is Mike Evans is a giant person and he plays the Gronk role a lot. And Evans is, yeah, he's a very quality receiver. He's a better, like, Godwin at 5,900 is like the cash play. I'm not doing that with Evans. Evans' ceiling is nuts though. Like, he gets the 3 touchdown games. He gets the I beat Cooper Kupp for almost $3,000 less games. Godwin doesn't get those. I mean,
that's rare. That's so wrong. I mean, because Godwin, you could just argue Godwin has run bad. I mean, he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in terms of efficiency, one of the most efficient per target, one of the only guys in the NFL who's had over 10 yards per target in a 100 target season. Like, I think this is wrong.
I mean, they've got over, you know, like, Evans has 41 games with Brady. Godwin has 32 games with Brady, and Evans gets twice as many red zone looks. And yeah, it's been almost 3 times. It's 34-13 in touchdowns. Like, yeah, it's not going to be that crazy. But I do think, you know, 28-16 is about right. So, like, Evans just has the new ceiling. And
I just think touchdowns are more random than you do, I think.
Right, because I look at things and say, this is a large enough sample that I can statistically
but,
say
but,
it's
but
not
30,
random.
30 games, 30, like if you if I threw out a 30 game, 34 game Major League Baseball sample, you would like laugh at me.
Right, because there's four opportunities in a Major League Baseball game for each person, you know?
Just
it's quite different.
I would wager that a data scientist that does not know shit about football would tell us that we have no clue what we're talking about and that these are not significant samples.
I'm a data scientist. This is literally my job title.
I know, but you are a data scientist.
Empire,
you're
and
a data
I know
scientist.
Shit about football, and I can tell
that's
you.
What I'm saying. I'm saying that's the problem. I'm saying your knowledge of how fantasy football works is actually you are not seeing the forest for the trees.
I don't know about that, but yeah, fun debate.
I mean, I could be wrong.
I mean, yeah, my computer says that you are wrong. It's not just the looking at the total numbers. I just figure for the people listening to this, look at the numbers. And yeah, they're all, it's just Evans gets way more touchdowns. He gets way more touchdown looks. And, you know, he's a lot
But, you know,
bigger.
On DraftKings,
that was
you
your
also
take
have to,
initially. I remember, you know, like.
I mean, I still think that's true. But I also think that. Like God, I mean, I would definitely make the argument that Godwin just overall in his career has just run bad on touchdowns. You don't see players with this historical level of efficiency score as few touchdowns as he had very often.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of this too, and this is not a data science take, this is a hand in the dirt take, is that, you know, sort of objectively, if you think about it, dudes in the slot generally have more people. Like, yeah, they're it's an easier pass to complete, it's closer, but they have to still then beat two or three people down the field. Like an outside receiver, usually, especially from someone as, you know, football aware as Tom Brady, is usually getting that deep threat, that deep chuck when he has single coverage, when the safeties are somewhere else. And so like the slot is generally more of the safety valve. And so like he gets it, but then there's still safeties he's got to beat. And an outside receiver, if they get the completion, they've usually just got the one man to beat and then it's to the house. So
yeah.
Plus there's all the short yardage stuff being better. The just giantness of Evans working better in the red zone where everything is so congested too. So,
yeah, I would say my two favorite wide receiver plays of the week though are AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. Just while we're doing wide receivers, I mean those guys at single digit ownership, super condensed target tree. They can
AJ Brown's my favorite too. So yeah. fun discussion, but yeah, you know I like AJ Brown the best as well.
So CeeDee Lamb did not practice on Thursday. If he doesn't go. I do think Gallup is pretty interesting because they didn't really limit him when he came back. He's 5,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, he scored a touchdown in his first game back. That's a really strong play. And then Shakir is my gold star five. That's my lock of the week. I pencil him in for 3 for 55 with, you know, good TD equity.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just a great
play.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I was a little weirded out when I looked at this and it's like, okay, he's only projecting for about 3% ownership, you know, not a ton of tow tags have come in yet. So that changes things. We'll see how much he gets talked up.
Well,
I worry
once,
it could be a little
once,
bit, but people are projecting him lower than we are. And I did look into it a little bit, but sorry, what are you saying?
I think people still have McKenzie projected in.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. But Shakir actually on the season has played. I was a little surprised by this because there was a primetime slate a couple weeks ago where I kind of jammed him because I was like, okay, this guy's got some pedigree and has a chance, but he plays mostly in the slot. He's 53% of his snaps have been in the slot this year, and it's McKenzie and Crowder that are out. And those are the slot guys. They can play Diggs more inside and could play Kumara out there because they trust him more, but he's out.
Kumara's, yeah. I don't really know. I don't really know what they're going to do, honestly, because. So this is their wide receiver depth chart. Kumaro out, Crowder out, McKenzie probably out. Then their practice squad guys are Jaquari Robinson, Tanner Gentry, Isaiah Hodgins. Gentry and Hodgins are both slot wide receivers too. I don't think they would play either one of those guys.
Shakir has some pedigree. He's like a third or fourth round pick. He's got decent athleticism. Like, you know, I don't think he's like a piece that they're like banking on, but I think they're hoping that he could be something. It's not seventh round. Like
Gabe,
this is the
Gabe
last.
Davis,
it's not like Cole Beasley was on the Bucs the last couple of weeks. Or
Gabe Davis was also a fourth round pick for the Bills. You know,
oh, wow, that's a sample of two, dude. Like here it comes. Like it's in. It's got.
Well,
be.
I would say the Bills are probably pretty good at identifying guys later in the draft who fit what they need. They're because they're always they will always set, like, when Diggs is old, they're going to trade a first round pick for another wide receiver. Like, they will just keep doing this, or they'll spend a first round pick on a wide receiver. They're not going to have him playing with a bunch of scrubs. So they'll need guys like Shakir who can contribute. So I'm pretty big on him.
I think so too. I think the big thing to think about, though, just like the last thing about Shakir, is we'll see how much he gets steamed up. If he's 15%, it's kind of gross. But if he is this, like, you know, up to 10%, he's a $3,200 reasonably viable wide receiver that you can play with by far the best quarterback play on the slate. So it makes that so much more affordable. I don't think he's got the, you know, he doesn't have a Gabe Davis ceiling. He's a slot receiver. But, you know, yeah, if he gets 4 for 60 and gets a touchdown, like, you are cooking in that case. And, you know, and the Bills are the biggest, you know, they certainly have the highest optimal probability overall. So,
okay. Let's do tight end. No interest in 25% owned Tyler Higbee. Also no interest in 13% owned Kyle Pitts. I would play him at single digits. I am much more interested in truly dumpster diving this week with O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard and Logan Thomas are my two favorite tight end plays of the week. We didn't mention Terry McLaurin with Jahan Dotson out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a really good play. McLaurin's a really good play.
Yeah, I like that. And we did mention Rondale Snaps. I think he's fine. I think Jalen Waddle is probably going to be significantly less popular than Tyreek, so that's a fun zag as well. Drake London's a boss. And, you know, if Kyle Pitts does really get steamed, that's a pretty solid leverage there. Plus, that's an attractive game that you would like to be stacking some, you know, like you bring Drake London as your run back in a Brady stack, you're looking pretty good. Let's see here. Dawson Knox is the highest optimal probability. Just a weird week at tight end. Like, you know, there's no Andrews or Kelsey on the slate. There's no Waller. There's no Kittle. You know, it's like all the primo guys are gone. So
I'm just telling you, dude, O.J. Howard, 3 catches, 30 yards and a touchdown. Like, count your $1 million. They cut Pharaoh Brown. Brevin Jordan may not be back from an injury this week. Howard, I mean, I was ready to laugh him off after the 2-touchdown game in week 1, but he led the team in snaps,
like, 6
and
snaps. Yeah, the last week you got out there. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's fine. O.J. Howard's a tough one for me because I've lost a lot of money on him over the years.
But he's actually, like, kind of good. He's, like, at least kind of good. Yeah.
No, he was – wasn't he a first-round pick? Like, he's a real monster athlete. I think I had 28% of him at best ball last year. It's just like, yeah, that's my last-round pick every time. It's Tom Brady. Like, he's – you know.
He was. The Buccaneers took him in the first round of the 2017 draft. But he tore his Achilles, yeah.
Yeah.
So – you know, whatever. I mean, tight, it's really bad. Hockenson, no interest in Schultz. Well, 3,400 Schultz, maybe if CD doesn't play. Everett, as I mentioned, I think is pretty strong.
Goddard's pretty great with Hurts, you know, just you do the single stack there or use him as a second.
I don't hate Freiermuth as a bring back for Josh Allen stuff either.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. You're hoping for a couple touchdowns. Do you have any data on, like, what was Kenny Pickens? Did he act markedly different to Mitchell Trubisky in his target distribution?
Yeah, he threw 5 of his 13 passes to Pickens.
Oh, right, Pickens, yeah. Pickens, great. Okay, that's going to be confusing for a couple of weeks.
I mean, the big stat is that not one of his passes hit the ground. He threw 13 passes, 10 of them were completions. One was a jump ball Claypool should have came down with. Another was a tip drill that Freiermuth probably should have done better with, and then the other one was a Hail Mary that got intercepted.
Yeah, that Claypool thing was a bummer. I was very high on him. He's just like an absolute freak of an athlete, and it's too bad. But like, that's a good throw. That's what you're supposed to do with a guy like that. He can jump out of the gym fast, stronger than, you know, there's no cornerbacks that are 6'4", or if they are, that's like Kevin King. He's just like an absolute disaster. Like, if people are that tall and that athletic, they're playing wide receiver. You know, like, cornerbacks are wide receivers that are either short or have stone hands generally.
Yeah.
So, and Joku, I mean, I don't know. I prefer Everett in that game, but Joku's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He's fine. Okay. Defense.
But yeah, Higbee sucks. That's a,
yeah.
That's
Higbee sucks. Don't play him at that ownership. Looks like the chalk D of the week is going to be the Cowboys, which, they really should not be 2,500. Wow, that is big. What are we doing, DraftKings? Come on now.
Well, it's the Rams. They're the Super Bowl champions and theoretically a very good offense that's really struggled out of the gate. They're so reliant on their offensive line. You know, it's really been true. Like that first year when they brought in Whitworth, like the first, was that the first McVay year, I think? And they just went from like the worst team in the league to like, oh, wow, the Rams are really good. Gurley had those monster years, but they've had a couple of years where the offensive line's been hurt and it's not gone well. Stafford's not great under pressure. So
no, he's not. I guess my super galaxy leverage my leverage take of the week would be the Seahawks if they go up against Andy Dalton. Feels pretty good to play them. And then
you think people will play the Lions against Bailey Zappe? I don't think they should.
No, because I actually think that's a bad spot. You would rather right. You know, you would rather play you know, some defense against a semi, you know, the Bears defense against Kirk as an underdog, or you know, just some spot where you're going to see a lot of passing attempts.
Yeah, which I can get behind New England against the Goof. You know, he's been really good. He's another like actually, it's funny. We were just that whole Rams and offensive line thing, right? We had Jared Goff. There was no more up and down quarterback. He had a couple really good years and a couple really bad years, and it was directly related to that offensive line. And Detroit has a killer offensive line, and he's been really good this year.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite game stack of the week.
I mean, if I'm full stacking the game, it's Philly and Arizona, but like I'm just prioritizing and jamming Buffalo. I'm going to play a lot of it and I'm not necessarily going to force a bring back there. And I think I'm really going to get into the Bucs and like not necessarily going to force a bring back, but you know, London and Pitts are perfectly attractive there.
Yeah,
but so, it's Philly, Arizona is the kind of objectively best one. I assume that's where you would go.
No, I like Houston, Jacksonville, Lawrence, double Cooks, Pierce, you know, Pierce at ownership, whatever. I mean, he could be the Rashad Penny from last week for sure. And then mm-hmm. OJ Howard. I really like that spot. And okay. I think Tennessee, Washington also is I just am getting some vibes there with so Burks is out.
I don't think we've mentioned one player from that. So give me the case here.
Well, it's just that both of these offenses have a wide receiver who was playing a lot of snaps missing, and that's not really reflected in the salaries. And both of these quarterbacks also have the hair on fire games where they just, you know, they're eating sacks and then completing 18-yard passes and then running for first downs and then fumbling and then throwing it to, you know, it's like I could totally see this game being 33-31 or whatever.
Yeah, this is the problem. Robert Woods doesn't really scale at this age and health, and then it's two little tiny slot receivers.
I wanted to have that same take. He's been pretty good the last 2 weeks in terms of like route participation and stuff. And also, how much money would you how many guesses would you have had to get for Tennessee Titans punt returner before you got to Robert Woods?
Oh, all of them.
The coaches see something that we do not see with Robert Woods because he was their punt returner last two weeks, which is bizarre.
Okay. I like it. All right, that's fair. Yeah, Washington. I mean, Curtis Samuel is a, like kind of crappy Debo Samuel. Chase Claypool is the even crappier version where he gets some rushing. So the optimal probability is high. There's multiple routes for him to get there. So cool with Curtis Samuel. And yeah, we hate tight end. Why not Logan Thomas?
Logan Thomas. I'm like picking him up in some leagues where I'm like totally dead and need flex starters. Like I think he'll see five targets this week.
Okay. That's fine. And yeah, McLaurin like and Wentz theoretically is a pretty good tournament kind of situation. Wentz likes to chuck it deep. He buys himself time by doing God knows what. And then McLaurin's fast.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here, everyone. The Sims and everything. We're going to be working on these for the next 48 hours, and we'll get them into a good spot. FreeDailyRoto.com. We'll be back. I'll be back with Reeves tomorrow.
NFL props tool. Actually, I got to plug just real quick.
Let's do it. Beta.
We're going to test it finally tonight behind the wall, and then if our boy Pacheco signs off on it working, I did all the math behind it, but the inputs are you. So I can just say, you know, if it was a bad bet, that's blame that on Davis, but all the programming and the math behind those distributions is perfect from your boy. It's infallible.
Infallible. All right, everyone, we'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
What time is it? Chumba time. ChumbaCasino.com is the online social casino with over 100 free games. Play anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Renewal by Andersen, we love sharing friendly words of wisdom about windows and doors. And we're thrilled when our customers do the same.
We're just so happy with the quality of the windows, the warranty of the windows, the fact that I get a call every year asking, is there anything else we can do for you? Do you need any help with anything? That to me is a good quality company.
Visit us online at iHeartMyWindows.com to schedule an in-home appointment when it's time to talk windows. We'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.